This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs are the Royals and I'm living in hell.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Let's talk about free agency.
That's the boost of energy that I need.
Do I need different music then?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Doesn't really matter. Were you playing this because it feels like the Chiefs have had a disappointing second half of free agency?
No, I was just doing it to, you know, be funny.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I like this song.
Yeah, it's fine.
This song has mostly for us become something we play before we play something sad, but I like this song. I also revisited Fall Out Boy's new album, Mania. There are like three good songs on it. It's disappointing still.
Oh. You're not adding any of those to the rotation?
I have just one in there already.
Okay.
Yeah. I have some music things that I wouldn't mind talking about at some point, but not yet. Not yet. We're not talking. You can play the music out. You do stick with this song really long into the segment, longer than you do with most, which is weird because I don't know if you're going to try to like crank it back up at some point. I don't know. You worry me sometimes.
Good.
But I really have enjoyed this NFL offseason. And before we went dark for a few days there because of the NCAA tournament, we got to talk about Sammy Watkins and even Anthony Hitchens less. But I would say we talked about both of those guys basically as well as they could be talked about. That sounded super self-congratulatory. We talked about them as much as I want to talk about them. One thing, and I don't have the tweet up in front of me, but somebody said, you said that Sammy Watkins is this team's third best pass catcher and you don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't... Listen. Here's the point on the offense. And then we have a bunch of other things to talk about. We're not going to stick with Watkins here for this whole show. But Sammy Watkins could be the third best pass catcher on this team. And he could be utilized as the number three passing target on this team. He might not be. But if he's not, then Tyreek Hill is. And if he's not, then Travis Kelce is. And oh my goodness. I don't know how many teams in football would have any of those guys as their second best option. And if you look for threes, you're simply not going to find them. Like, the Steelers have the next... The Steelers have the best argument to make. With Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. But then it's what? It's Jesse James, the tight end. This doesn't exist anywhere in football. Odell Beckham is an amazing receiver. What, is Sterling Shepard still there? Is that the number two? Like, the Chiefs' depth, as far as pass catchers goes, is overwhelming. And the point is that Sammy Watkins is the new guy in this group coming into a new offense. It would not surprise me if he was the number three target on this team, and I also think they could be paying the number three target on this team whatever these billion dollars are the next three seasons. And that could still be a good signing. Him being the number three pass catcher on this team would not be a problem, which is, again, stunning to say out loud. Because that's just not true for anybody else in football. If the Steelers signed Sammy Watkins to this contract and he was outperformed by Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, it would be problematic. Not in Kansas City, because whoever the third pass catcher is going to be, like, and this is not an exaggeration, a generational talent. So that's kind of where, that's where I'm at right now. Chiefs offensive weapons off the charts. Pray they all stay healthy. And if they do, this offense is overwhelming. Now, the offense isn't the concern. We might talk about we'll talk about the interior offensive line in a second. But I'm not worried about it. This team has three predominant holes, all on defense. They need a safety beside Eric Berry. They need a cornerback, if not a number one cornerback, at least a cornerback to be the number two guy opposite Kendall Fuller. And with Steven Nelson in the slot. And they need a defensive tackle they can put in the middle of that defensive line. Chris Jones and Alan Bailey on the edges is fine. They got nobody in the middle. They brought back Jarvis Jenkins. They tendered Raheem Nunez-Roches. That's some depth there. I think you can put Jarvis Jenkins in the middle, but that's not your day one starter, I would imagine. I don't think he's a fine football player. But the Chiefs have three positions of need and a little bit of salary cap room. According to Over the Cap, which has not yet added Chad Henne to this roster, by the way, in case you missed it, Tyler Bray signed with the Bears, and Chad Henne signed with the Chiefs. So Chad Henne is the veteran backup behind Patrick Mahomes. They're going to either draft a guy late or sign a couple undrafted free agents and then pick one to be the number three quarterback that develops behind Mahomes and also behind Chad Henne over the next couple of years. That's going to happen. But common sense, hashtag not rumblings. I'm not saying that because someone told me that. I'm saying that because that's going to happen. But before the Chad Henne contract is added, which I'm pretty sure we can pencil in. BH, can you look really quick? I meant to Google this and I forgot. Can you see what the number was for the Chad Henne contract? I think we can pencil it in around $3 million. I think it was about in that neighborhood. If that's true, then the Chiefs end up with about $9 million in salary cap space as currently constituted. Got to be able to pay your rookies. Got to maintain some flexibility. Maybe roll some things over to next year if you want to roll over some salary cap to a year you think you're even more likely to contend. But if I was in the Kansas City Chiefs' shoes right now, I do have a very specific strategy. Henne numbers?
From ChiefsWire.USA Today. 2 years, $6.7 million.
Boom.
With 5.115 guaranteed.
So he'll be the backup the next 2 years. Thank you. So yeah, about $3 million per year. Not sure how it stacks up, what's this year, what's next year, but there's the gist of it. Again, it's a safety, it's a cornerback, and it's a defensive tackle. Those are the biggest holes in this defense. They cut Ron Parker to make space for an addition. I would not like to go in the next season with Eric Murray and Daniel Sorensen being your second and third safeties after Eric Berry. That isn't my favorite. It's passable, but not ideal, certainly. You have to have a corner. David Amerson can't be your number two corner. And Jarvis Jenkins in the middle of your defense is going to make Anthony Hitchens' job a lot harder. You just signed Anthony Hitchens in large part to help you stop up the middle of the defense. He's not going to be able to do that if he's got an offensive lineman inside his face mask constantly. And so if I'm the Chiefs looking, and this is not, I'm not just playing fantasy football here. I'm not just saying things without having the backdrop of knowing what I'm talking about for this year specifically. If I'm the Chiefs, I sign a safety, and then those three picks that we've talked about this year, the second-round pick that's their own, the third-round pick that's their own, and the third-round pick that they got from Washington in the Alex Smith trade, those are three picks that can be used to give you an actual contributor. Not a lock, by the way. Chris Jones was a high second-round pick. Tanner Passanio was a second-round pick. Those guys needed a year before they really got into the swing of things. Tanner Passanio hasn't fully gotten there yet. Chris Jones was developing throughout the season, but that's not a day-one starter by any means in most instances. But those are three picks where you can really have guys who are contributing some the rookie year and then really solid starters in year two if you get the pick right. Or they could be Kavari Russell, who the Chiefs took in the third round a couple years ago when he didn't even make the active roster, which still to this day makes me want to bang my head through a wall.
Wasn't the Tyreek Hill draft?
No. Year before.
Are you sure?
Nope. Not sure. Yes. No, 2 years ago. Yeah, that would have been then.
2016 draft.
Yeah, he was the third-round pick. Because he went in the third round, and they took Kevin Hogan, like, two spots before Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs did. The Chiefs took Kevin Hogan, like, two spots before Tyreek Hill. It was kind of amazing.
Yeah, because that was the we're-going-to-draft-character-guys draft.
Yeah. Yeah, that draft was awesome. Worked out super well. But so those picks are certainly not locks. but they can be pieces. If the Chiefs go into the draft knowing they need a safety, corner, and defensive tackle with their first three picks, you're really boxing yourself in. Because what if Justin Houston drops to you in the third round again? The Chiefs got Justin Houston in a year when they were, you know, pass rusher needy, relatively, and he dropped to the third round because of weed. Well, if he's there in the third round again this year, some top-tier pass rusher who has some question marks because of his because of a positive weed drug test, you want to be able to take that guy. So you pull the trigger on that, uh-oh, now we don't have a number two cornerback because we went safety and tackle first. All of a sudden, you're in a really bad spot. The Chiefs have about $9 million in their salary cap right now, and they have something like $40 million set up for 2019. Again, we can play the over-the-cap game. According to overthecap.com, Henny contract notwithstanding, it's $50 million. There could be some things that get moved around still, but I read somewhere earlier about $40 million set up for next year. Also, let's look at the market. Tyrann Mathieu just signed a one-year $7 million with the Houston Texans. The Chiefs probably couldn't have afforded to do that. If Mathieu was looking for a one-year deal and then hoping to have a big year and then hit the open market next year, that's reasonable. If he was hoping to do that, the Chiefs couldn't have afforded that deal probably. The Chiefs are going to have to find a guy who's wanting 3 years, and you're going to say, all right, we're going to pay you not as much this year, but next year you're going to get a bunch of guaranteed money, and then year three, probably some guaranteed stuff there too. The Chiefs can do that with Trey Boston and Eric Reed, former Charger and 49er safeties, respectively. Both of these guys make a lot of sense. Age, style of play next to Eric Berry. This make and presumed price tag. The safety market has been moving pretty slowly. Mathieu did not get a crazy huge deal. Earl Thomas is sort of out there. The Seahawks seem open to trading him. This is the time to sign a safety. Terrez Paylor had a tweet a little while ago, sometime this weekend, said they might make a smart signing here or there, but for the most part, I think it's time to start reading up for the draft. That makes me a little bit worried because I think they have the space and a chance and a reason to go get Trey Boston or Eric Reed. Because it's not just dealing with your best team this year. Eric Reed and Eric Berry, lock up your safeties for the next at least 2 years. But it also frees you up for the draft in a big way. And I also think it's the smartest investment. The cornerback market's dried up. You traded away a cornerback that you had a perfect reason to keep. But whatever, Marcus Peters. Gone. Aqib Talib gets traded to the Rams. Off the board, gone. Richard Sherman gets cut, signed to the Niners, gone. Those are the three cornerbacks in the open market, and you were selling on one of them. The cornerback market is not a place to buy this year for the Chiefs in free agency. You draft that guy. And I would rather draft the best corner available in that second round pick, assuming it's even close, than to take the best guard or the best inside linebacker or maybe even the best safety. Maybe the best defensive tackle. Maybe the best. I would be willing to go a couple spots down the big board to get you the best cornerback remaining because you need that guy. Not just for this year, but also for the next 2 and 3 years. This team desperately needs another cornerback they can put opposite Kendall Fuller. And we don't even know if Kendall Fuller can play the outside yet. I think he's going to. I think he can. We haven't seen him do it, though. This team needs that corner. That's got to be one of those first few picks. Has to be a top three pick. But if you sign a safety, if you sign Eric Reed, who, again, makes a lot of sense in this defense, opposite, beside, whatever, Eric Berry, different play styles, would play together well. Then, you know, those first three picks, and again, those are the first three picks you can really rely on a little bit here. If you're stuck in the spot, you have to rely on some picks somewhere. In those three picks, you just have to get a corner, a defensive tackle, and the best player available. And I would probably do it in the order of corner, best player, tackle. If the defensive tackle ends up being the best player available in that first third-round pick you have, then you're all clear. You can take the best player available again next time around. And the best defensive player available with your first pick wouldn't harm my feelings any, because this defense could use them anywhere. There's plenty of space in this defense for the best player available, but you have to get a corner. You have to get a safety. And I would make a lot of sense to get a defensive tackle. I'm also not interested in signing a defensive tackle. We've seen guys come and go on this market. There have been a few guys cut recently, even this last weekend. But I have, and I don't know if I'm alone on this or not. I haven't heard anyone else talking about it yet. And so if you've heard someone else saying this, or if you're with me, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe. If you've got someone else that has been going in the same direction, Ryan Scott Hall is headed this way a little bit. But I have some of the same hesitancies about the defensive tackles as the league seems to have with running backs. It's such a physically demanding position that I would just keep drafting guys until you get a truly generational talent, and then you pay that guy. But for me, I would keep drafting guys, and then I would be paying pass rushers and defensive backs. And maybe it's because what we saw with Dontari Poe. Dontari Poe is a little bit of a developmental guy. Big physical beast. Ended up getting a back injury, and then you end up letting him go. But I would be paying defensive backs and pass rushers. I got a quick jump to Ryan Scott Hall. He had an interesting thread on Twitter talking about not paying a nose tackle at all. The first guy's out in sub packages, and the NFL's moving in a sub package direction. It has been for a little while. I'm cool with that. I could absolutely get behind taking some behemoth later in the draft that you put out there for the first and second down. Then you sign a free agent safety, and you just take a corner and the two best players available with your first three picks. That would not hurt my feelings one bit. You draft a lumbering run stuffer in the fifth round and let him try to consume as many offensive linemen as possible. Understand that he can't rush the passer. That's fine, because you're using one of your first three picks there on the corner you need to give quarterbacks less to look at if they are in the pocket, and you're probably using one of those picks on someone else who can help you get to the quarterback. That works for me. I'm cool if this defense evolves in a faster direction. More quick pass rushers. Maybe you're putting out Dee Ford and Justin Houston and Tano Passanio all out there at the same time. Anthony Hitchens too. All of these guys can move around. Can all get to the passer. Stack the defense. Let Bob Sutton draw some stuff up. Totally fine with me. Look at those NASCAR packages, as they like to call them. Sweet. Go for it. But I would be really worried if going in the next year, the Chiefs were starting a second-round pick at corner and a third-round pick at safety, considering all of the other things that this defense needs. And maybe they take a couple corners. That wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit either. You need three cornerbacks more often than not. And statistically, the Chiefs ran like 70% nickel last year. But you also need a safety out there that you can trust besides Eric Berry. The third priority for me is the defensive tackle. But this team so desperately needs a corner, and could really use a safety that's not Eric Murray or Daniel Sorensen. Now, in fairness, at least for Eric Murray, he'll look a lot better this year beside Eric Berry than he did beside Ron Parker and beside Daniel Sorensen. So that's something that I could see playing out a little bit better that way. But if you let Sorensen and Murray be your third and fourth safety behind, there's a lot of Eric's in the backfield, but behind Eric Berry and Eric Reed, behind the head of Eric Murray. Too many Eric's. That's some defensive back depth that can win you a lot of games for hopefully a lot of years. I don't like whenever teams gamble with the shallow, we're good enough at the top strategy. And this team will fill out, by the way. Also, I expect this team to look different after training camp, or at least after the big cutdowns. I imagine that Brett Veach has a couple of corners that they'll scoop up, or at least take a look at, after someone else cuts them. They did that with Terrence Mitchell. I made him Eric Mitchell for a second. Wanted to add another Eric to the team. They did that with Terrence Mitchell. And I believe they did that with Kenneth Acker. And I think there might have been another one. There definitely was another one. Tip of my tongue. Can't find it. Doesn't matter. There will be guys that get brought in whenever deeper teams let them go. Whoever the Rams' fifth corner is that gets released, the Chiefs will sign. But I'd like to see some moves be made to that effect before. It sounds like they might be done in free agency. I had spent this whole time expecting one more move, either a defensive lineman that hopefully can get you to the quarterback as well as stop the run. But at least a defensive lineman. And I've been hoping that next signing is a safety. Right now, I'm not as hopeful, but that's what I would do. Sign a safety, draft a corner, maybe draft another corner, maybe draft another corner, maybe draft one more corner, draft the defensive tackle, get your number two tight end. It's about right. Also, you know how long we've been not on air? I just remembered that Brett Veach talked like right after we got off the show on Wednesday. We haven't talked about that at all yet. So whenever we come back, either Beards is going to find some clips of Brett Veach talking, or I'm going to read you the transcript of some things that Brett Veach said. Also, other stuff. Football, we're back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
With Joshua Briscoe.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
On ESPN Kansas City.
We are a sports talk radio station that doesn't have the Brett Veach clips.
I'll keep looking, but I'm not seeing them.
How does this happen? How is this humanly possible? I mean, like, admittedly, I could have cut them before the show. But this was a week ago. Has no one... Okay.
I'll keep looking.
This show's been off. We've been off since Wednesday. This press conference happened on Wednesday. I thought someone would have played it by now. I just wanted the Sammy Watkins thing. Also, Christopher asked if we asked whether the Chiefs are going after running backs. There's 1 year left on West and Ware's deals. Maybe they're worried about Spencer Ware not being fully healthy at the return of this year. I don't know. But they are looking into running backs. By the way, Jeremy Hill signed a 1 year, like $1.5 million deal or something with the Patriots. That is robbery. So the market is good, and also this team, and especially Andy Reid, likes adding new skill position guys.
I found one clip from Sammy Watkins. It's just titled Chiefs Offense. It's a minute long.
From Sammy Watkins? I don't care about listening to Sammy Watkins.
Okay.
I want to hear about what Brett Veach said about Sammy Watkins.
Well, I'm not seeing any Veach audio.
Awesome.
Nope.
Amazing. Should give ourselves a round of applause here. The main thing is that Veach said that he had been, I'll give you the paraphrasing, and maybe tomorrow we'll find you the... What are you getting, Beards? I don't have the transcript. I said I will paraphrase. That little liner does not say Josh paraphrases something he heard a week ago.
You said at the end of the last segment you were going to read the transcript.
Well, I didn't have that either.
Okay.
Brett Veach said that he'd had his eye on Sammy Watkins and Anthony Hitchens for a while, and that they tried to trade for Sammy Watkins last offseason, but the Rams outbid them. And that is so much information. Like, that's amazing. I love Brett Veach. I love that he was willing to say that. He mentioned they already may have reached out to Tyrann Mathieu. Obviously, they didn't end up signing Tyrann Mathieu. But he just sort of like, he just like flippantly is like, yeah, we tried to trade for these guys last year. Tried to trade for Watkins, but the Rams outbid us, you know, getting him from Buffalo, and now we're glad to have him.
Speaking of trades and Veach, I did find one clip from him on the Marcus Peters trade. It's a minute long.
Yeah, I don't really care about that either.
Well, I'll just close this then. I find a clip and he just doesn't want it. Okay.
I've told you the clip I want is it's just one clip.
I don't see one.
I don't need him. He said, here. I'm Brett Veach. Yeah, we traded Marcus because we felt like it was the best thing to do. Hi, I'm Brett Veach. That was my Brett Veach impression of Brett Veach talking about Marcus Peters. I saved this like 58 seconds. Anyway, I think it's interesting that Veach has been open when it makes sense to be open. Like, why not say that? There's no reason not to say that you had been, you know, trying to trade for him last offseason. No reason not to say that. It's fine. Be open. Makes our job easier. I enjoy that. I think fans enjoy hearing that. But you got a younger GM and maybe even a guy that, you know, comes up in the Madden generation a little bit. I think it's awesome. I found that very fun. So that's the only thing that I was really looking for on the Brett Veach front. I am at least gonna try to find one specific exact thing I was looking for. Somebody tweeted me, Jordan tweeted me back on, I think, Wednesday. He said, Veach is for real. He wants to take advantage of Mahomes' rookie deal and wants to win now. You could tell in the presser today. And I think this might be a little bit of a Madden thing here again, too, because pardon the insane gap that I'm ignoring. But with the trades and the acquisitions and the understanding of the salary cap windows and everything, I feel like Brett Veach is running the team how I would want to be running the team, which is exciting for me, obviously, and also perhaps disastrous. Because I'm not an NFL GM. But I love the way that he's going about it. Matt Derrick pointed out, he said, you know, he's a refreshing dude. He has to play some cards close to the vest, but he's willing to explain his thinking and give genuine insight. It's a candor that I think fans will appreciate. Sam Ellinger tweeted that Brett Veach said at least two things in a press conference that the last two GMs wouldn't have said on the off the record, and it's going to make me sad whenever at Chiefs PR gets to him. I love that Ellinger tweeted at Chiefs PR to say, hey, you leave him alone. Oh, he also mentioned that they might try to get back into the first round. GMs don't say that. But also, it makes sense. Because now, if you really do want to get back into the first round, every team in the 30s is calling you going, hey, well, you can get back in the first round for your second and third. Oh, you can get back in for your second and fourth. Hey, you can get back in for your second and fifth. You get teams that want to move back calling you. So you throw that out there. I love it. It makes me very happy. BJ Kissel here says that Brett Veach, so they inquired about trading for Anthony Hitchens and Sammy Watkins last year during training camp. And I'm super here for Brett Veach being that kind of open. I think that's awesome. Surprising move that the Chiefs made. They re-signed DeAnthony Thomas. Also, right after that, Ian Rappaport tweeted about how DeAnthony Thomas turned down $1.5 million more from another team to stay in Kansas City. This was surprising to me. And now listen, I understand. If you feel the need to immediately just poop out onto Twitter that DeAnthony Thomas is terrible and you hate this signing, by all means, you do it. Don't wait for information or explanation or any reasoning. Just poop it out there. Fine by me. Don't expect me to take you seriously, but please do it. But my first reaction to this was certainly, huh, that's surprising. Because the Chiefs have a lot of receivers, which is DeAnthony Thomas's, you know, like, stated position. But this is a time when I think Dave Tobe goes to Brett Veach and goes, hey, man, I would love to have DeAnthony Thomas back. And Brett Veach goes, all right, let's see what we can get him for. Maybe. And then Dave Tobe goes, okay, cool, thanks. He's a guy who knows the offense, who knows the special teams, and who can do a lot of different things. He's a very good gunner in coverage. He will probably return the Chiefs' first kickoff of the season. And I imagine that there's a chance that Tyreek Hill gets taken off of punts that aren't in big situations. Don't know that for sure. Something to keep an eye on, though. And he's not a transformative return man the way Tyreek Hill is, but here's the thing. Transformative return men turn into core facets of your offense. So except Devin Hester, who never really got the offense going, and by the way, they tried. But if not Devin Hester, or maybe Dante Hall, who Tyreek Hill is 1,000% better than both of those guys on offense. Unless you're one of those guys who can only return kicks. Then you're always going to be trying to get your best kick returner out of kick returning situations. Because you can affect a game as a return man maybe, what, 10 times a game? If you're returning everything. 4 kickoffs, 6 punts. I don't know. That's an absolute dart thrown. Maybe more than that, less than that, depending on the situation. Doesn't really matter to me. But so you can affect the game 10 times as a return man, and some of those will be touchbacks, and some of those will be fair caught. As a number one receiver, you can affect the game 40 times a game. You're a threat 40 times a game. DeAnthony Thomas is here to do special teams. Now, if they would have paid him $3 million to do that this year, I would have been a little surprised. He's making $880,000 this year. It's a $90,000 signing bonus. Minimum signing benefit, according to Aaron Wilson. This came out a couple hours after the signing, I think. This is why, he sucks. That's why that, he sucks analysis is unbelievably dumb whenever news breaks. Because this is pennies in the NFL for a special teamer who Tobe obviously loves and who knows the offense. I mean, I totally understand, and this was my first reaction, the reaction going, huh, I just sort of assumed they would go find a gunner late in the draft. Find a receiver late, just draft him, give it a shot, whatever. But, Beards, somehow, for some reason, you knew this. How old is DeAnthony Thomas?
He's 25.
All right, cool, thank you.
Because I looked it up.
I figured you looked it up. I didn't think that you had his birthday on your calendar or whatever.
I didn't send him anything.
That's really shameful.
It was a busy time.
He's not... What did you say?
It was a busy time. Sure. I didn't send him anything.
I understand.
He hasn't returned any of my texts or calls afterwards.
Yeah, he's not great at returning.
No. That's not even the joke I was trying to make there, but sure.
I know it wasn't. I thought it was another fun little joke. By the way, yeah, we missed it. His birthday was in December. Sorry, it was January. His birthday was in January. I missed
what day?
5th.
Oh, okay. My sister's birthday is in January.
Is your sister DeAnthony Thomas?
No.
Okay. But so, he's 25. They didn't just bring back...
some old dude.
They didn't just bring back Dwayne Bowe to be the number 5 receiver and return man. And obviously, he likes being in the building and people in the building like him. He could have made almost $2.5 million somewhere else, apparently. And he's staying in Kansas City to play special teams. And maybe, in a pinch, to step in and at receiver or even to do something in the backfield. Hardly outpricing yourself for him. Hardly ridiculous. Maybe literally the veteran minimum. He's making less than... Well, no. He's making slightly more than DeMarcus Robinson this year. In fact, he's not set into the over-the-cap page for this year yet. What did I say? 880? James Winchester is making $930,000 this year. That's the Chiefs' long snapper.
I could use that.
Parker Anger is making $880 at the end of his rookie deal. Tano Pasternier is making $1.1 million. Terry Kill is making $800,000. You're down here. So is Yukimi Legwe. $700,000. These are rookie contracts down here. This is fine. Just don't freak out. If your initial reaction was, huh, that's surprising, totally fine. That was my reaction. My reaction was legitimately, huh. Because I assumed that he would require a price that would be too much for the Chiefs to pay for how they would use him. The actual price, totally reasonable. So if you hate DeAnthony Thomas, get a new hobby. Also, the Chiefs signed Dustin Colquitt, which I also was a little surprised by. A little more money, still a pretty good deal. Makes him like the, I think it makes him like the eighth paid punter in the NFL or something like that. Had a bit of a down year last season. A little bit odd to me that they brought him back. But it's one less thing to worry about this offseason. Like, I kind of get it. He's not incompetent. He just wasn't Dustin Colquitt. Now, he's not being paid like Dustin Colquitt this year or next year. And I believe it's pretty much guaranteed in the next two seasons. He's making $3 million this year. Whatever. A little surprised. But to get a punter out of college that you felt really good about would take some draft capital. Not a ton, but a little bit. And this team already has some holes to fill. It's fine. I'm not weeping or gnashing my teeth. So don't worry about it. The biggest move in the AFC West, I think, that happened over these last couple days was a move that the Oakland Raiders made. And by biggest, I don't mean best. I mean loudest, I suppose.
Biggest name.
Biggest name, yeah. The Packers cut Jordy Nelson whenever they signed Jimmy Graham, and then the Raiders cut Michael Crabtree and signed Jordy Nelson. My reaction to this is a big, loud, meh.
And then I think Crabtree went to the Ravens?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
There's been some receiver shuffling where I already am going to get like Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith and Michael Crabtree and every former Colts receiver. Really, if you've ever been a receiver for the Panthers, Eagles, Ravens, or Rams, or Niners, you could be anywhere. You're probably one of those other five teams, though. If the Niner, Raven, Panther, Colt, Eagle, Ram spin cycle seems to be relatively self-contained. Although, I just feel like all of those teams are always trying to sign somebody. So I'm going to get those names and destinations wrong for a good month. But the Raiders signed Jordy Nelson. And again, to me, ends up being about a wash. He's 2 years older than Michael Crabtree. It's a 2-year, $15 million deal with $13 million guaranteed. It's pretty much the same price they would have paid Crabtree. Jordy Nelson at his height was better than Michael Crabtree. But also, Jordy Nelson at his height had Aaron Rodgers. So, meh. Here's the thing that I actually wanted to talk about with this. The Madden Twitter account just gave me an aneurysm. They tweeted out a Madden simulation of Derek Carr, just a screenshot of Derek Carr throwing a pass to Jordy Nelson, both in Raiders uniforms, obviously. And it said, retweet if the Raiders have the best quarterback wide receiver combo in the AFC West. I cannot get over this tweet. Because apparently Madden 18... Or I guess it'll be 19. Is Madden 18 out yet? Oh, God. Beard just looking. Da na 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 na
It'll be 19.
Apparently, Madden 19 is playing with the 2012 version of Jordy Nelson.
Because this is ridiculous.
Derek Carr to Jordy Nelson isn't even the best quarterback to wide receiver combo on that team. Jordy Nelson's 45 years old and he disappeared with it when he didn't have Aaron Rodgers. I've tried also, I did my own ranking, because this is what Madden did to me. I did my own ranking of quarterback receiver combos in the AFC West, not counting tight ends. Just quarterbacks to wide receivers, because that's what the tweet said. And I have also tried to suppress all of my Mahomer tendencies. This is the list I came up with. Number one, Philip Rivers to Keenan Allen. Number two, Derek Carr to Amari Cooper. Number three, Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. Number four, Patrick Mahomes to Sammy Watkins. Number five, Derek Carr to Jordy Nelson. Number six, getting hit by a truck. Number seven, Denver. That's my list. Amari Cooper is a better receiver right now than Jordy Nelson is. Michael Crabtree might be a better receiver than Jordy Nelson is. They're giving Jordy Nelson more money. Derek Carr right now is a worse quarterback than Philip Rivers is. Barely, but it's close. Keenan Allen is the best receiver on either of those two teams. I'm not putting Mahomes, Hill, Mahomes, Watson 1-2 because we've seen one game of Patrick Mahomes, and I'm trying to be as conservative as possible whenever it comes to Patrick Mahomes. I'll never say that sentence again. It just drives me mad. But hey, as a Chiefs fan, feel good about it. Because I am not afraid of the Oakland Raiders. They will surely win the division now. But I'm just not. Oh, yeah. No, John Gruden, who's last year in the league, did not use a shotgun formation. He's going to really air it out. That Carr to Jordy Nelson combo. Yeah. No, that's... Yeah, I'm terrified. I am shaking in my boots. Please. Oh, by the way, Ndamukong Suh is visiting the Rams tomorrow. I am apoplectic.
All they need now is like Steve Smith. For all the crazy people.
No, it's good. But they wouldn't because he's not also making their team significantly better. Like, this team is taking the quote-unquote head cases at the top of their reign. I mean, Tlaib's not... whatever. Tlaib isn't at the top of his career. And Dominic is not at the top of his career. Aaron Donald is. Marcus Peters is. Todd Gurley is. Jared Goff's being popped up by his surrounding cast, but Todd Gurley but Jared Goff, fine. I want to barf. That defense could have simply new acquisitions. Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and Ndamukong Suh, adding to what was one of the best defenses in football last year. And they lose Joyner, I think, and I just want to barf. The Chiefs have contributed to that. I also get to play them in Mexico this year. That game is going to be amazing. Also, by the way, the Chiefs apparently called about free agent center Ryan Jensen whenever free agency opened, which is kind of interesting because it means the Chiefs aren't totally standing pat with Mitch Morse. I think what would have happened there is they would have moved Mitch Morse to left guard in all likelihood, but it also could have just been kind of a heat check on the market. What's the market for Zach Fulton? What's the market for a left guard? What's the market maybe moving Jensen to left guard? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I've said this a few times. I'm not interested in investing more in left guard. Parker Anger was good before his injury. Let's give him this offseason, and he will be 100% going in the training camp. Let's see what he can do. Brian Witzman is fine. Also, this offensive line isn't protecting Alex Smith this year. It's protecting Patrick Mahomes. I was going to use some phrasing that would have been unkind to Alex Smith, and I'm not going to because that's unfair. Alex Smith isn't fragile, which is where I was headed, but he's shakeable. He's not exactly a stalwart quarterback whenever things start breaking down a little bit. He's shakeable. Patrick Mahomes keeps his eyes up constantly. I am less worried about Pat Mahomes having to deal with a little interior pressure here and there than I was with Alex Smith doing it. Alex Smith would do it, and the offense would start to kind of freak out. Patrick Mahomes, if I've said it once, said it a million times, Patrick Mahomes is just going to fix everything. One fell swoop. All at once. Everything. Unless he doesn't.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Pat Mahomes is like literally...
only a few days, right?
He's literally a cucumber. Yeah. He is so dumb.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is such a dope.
With Joshua Briscoe.
He's literally a squash. So he could never learn the system over the course of the last 6 months.
You know those...
He's not ready.
Mark that.
He's not ready.
You know S-liner.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, if you're looking for a little bit more serious Chiefs free agency discussion, turn the show off. This weekend, we had a four-day weekend of the show, basically, because of the NCAA tournament, and I got so lost in the weekend that yesterday I played Fortnite for the first time. Fortnite, if you don't know what Fortnite is, it's imagine... The Hunger Games as a video game, but it's very cartoonish.
And there's a building mechanic.
Yes, that I've far from mastered.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, but 100 people drop in on this island, lots of different like towns all around it and everything. But you try to survive as long as you can. You find little like loot crates and stuff, and you get weapons and try to survive. I watched someone play this for the first time back on Wednesday night because a really popular streamer named Ninja, who I'd not heard of, was playing Fortnite with Drake and Travis Scott and Juju Smith-Schuster of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I watched that for a while. I don't know if I saw all four of them at the same time, but I was definitely watching while Drake was playing because that's why I clicked.
Duh.
And then so yesterday... I played it for the first time with a couple of my friends and housemates. I ended up playing with other friends later that night. I'm deep into it now. My friend Darren was telling me how to sort of teach me how to do it and everything, and then we played together, and it was good. But my first solo game of Fortnite, when I was by myself, not on a team or anything, my very first game, out of 100 people who jumped on this island the first time, I finished third. That's good. 3 out of 100 is good. And this game is brutal.
Yep.
I did it without ever picking up an item. All I did was run from bush to bush. I avoided the incoming storm. I avoided any and all confrontation. I got to the very eye of the storm, and I just hid in a bush. And no one saw me. At the very end, a guy came and hid in the bush that I was hiding in, and he found me, and then he blew me to smithereens. So I'm thinking, basically what I'm saying is this is the last episode of Almost Entirely Sports you're ever going to get. I'm leaving sports radio to start a career as a Twitch streamer where I can just play games in the most cowardly possible fashion. That is now my future. I'm great at it. Bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. On ESPN Kansas City.